Hello, I'm Farhana Sheh, and you are watching Awani Global. It's a pleasure to have with us today in the studio Mr. Brett Hunt, a telecommunication expert with more than 20 years of experience in the sector. Most recently, he was a partner in Deloitte Consulting, leading collaborations between governments and industry players from all across the world to the US and the Europe as well. He has retired, but is now advising the Brazilian government as well as the United Nations on 5G rollout. Great to have you here, Brett.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Now, 5G is a hot topic as we seek to roll out the service with a goal to have 80% coverage in populated area by 2024. Currently, it's only available in parts of Putrajaya, Cyberjaya and Kuala Lumpur. So we're looking to expand this. Now, accelerating this agenda, Malaysia has chosen the Single Wholesale Network, SWN system. But by forming a company wholly owned by the government, which is Malaysia's Digital National Berhad, DNB. But there has been a lot of pushbacks on mobile network operators on this proposal. So let's start there. Based on your experience, can you break down to us what is SWN model? What are the pros and cons? And is this the best way forward for us to roll out 5G?
Great, thank you. It's a great question. And in fact, just before going into it, I want to say we've been here before. In the 1990s, there was a WTO basic telecom agreement to liberalize the markets. And at that moment, we heard the same arguments about changing the market would be a concern. But now they realized the liberalized market was very good. So we're hearing the same arguments now about the single wholesale network. I think it's very important to realize that what happened is that there's massive technological change, massive business changes that are changing the market significantly. And whether it's a single wholesale network or other non-auction ideas, they're good for the business, and they're good for job creation, and they're good for the country writ large. I'm very excited by it. I think it's innovative. It's a proven model, I personally believe. And I think it will provide new opportunities for new entrants throughout Malaysia, as well as providing critical services across the country, not just in the cities, but also for the rural and other parts of the country.
Okay. So if you can help us, you know, break down a little bit, because I'm sure not a lot of people, especially those who are not in this industry,
right,
on what is the SWN model and what are the pros and cons in this particular model?
Sure. What basically a wholesale model is to create a utility-like network so that there can be service sector competition, so that all actors have the same terms and conditions and access to the utility, the wholesale network. What that does is give confidence to new entrants, gives confidence to other people to enter the market, and also gives confidence to the country that it can meet its goals. I would point out that the carriers do have some concerns, but what's really important, other stakeholders are going to be entering the market. Private enterprise, schools, universities will be able to enter the market under a 5G world, because 5G is also very important to a country's development, mm-hmm, whether it's in manufacturing, ports, or other areas.
I see. So talking about the concern that the industry players have just now. Now, with a single wholesale network and wholly owned by a company, government entity, DNB, industry players have come out to say that the proposal will create a monopoly. What are your thoughts on this, and how do we address this concern?
Well, I personally feel broadband is essential to every country's economic development. It's critical for the economy, for all the citizens. And having a government utility-like model with business expertise is appropriate. And as a government entity, it can be tested by the people. It has to be transparent. It has to be reviewed and regulated. But that does not mean that it will hurt carriers. In fact, I see it as an invitation and a challenge. It's an invitation to the carriers to provide new services. The challenge is for them to meet those new clients.
I see. Okay. So, I mean, it's definitely a legitimate concern, considering that, you know, previous rollout, you know, we've done it differently. So we have to consider how best to mitigate conflicts from both sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about viability here.
Mm-hmm.
The only other country that is currently using this system is Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
A company called Alten REITs was appointed by the Mexican government to roll out 4G network, but was not able to meet the rollout target and they filed for bankruptcy later. I understand you are part of the team for the project. What went wrong there? And if Malaysia wants to do this right, what are the pitfalls for the country that we need to avoid before we go really big on this?
Sure. I think actually I'll rephrase it, not pitfalls, but lessons learned. Mm-hmm. I think Malaysia and any country can take lessons learned on 5G from across the globe and apply them to the context of Malaysia. That's the exciting thing about 5G. It's a new area. In Mexico specifically, there was policy success, but company failure. So the policy of Mexico was to create foreign direct investment. AT&T invested in the country to create liberalization. Altán, unfortunately, failed as a company. I would advocate you talk to the competitor to Altán, a firm called Rivada Networks, their CEO, Declan Ganley, and ask him, could he have done a better job or what was out there? So make sure we separate out policy success from company failure on this side. Apply those lessons learned on this side. I will say, when we did the business model for Mexico, we had executives from the CTO of Bechtel to private industry to JP Morgan, and we did a roadshow internationally, and there was wide acceptance of the plan. In fact, great interest in the plan. So I think the issues there are not so much the policy, but the company part to it. And that's why I would suggest talking to, you know, the competitor, Rivada Networks and Declan Ganley, as CEO on that side.
So if Malaysia were to take lessons from this, so what would the big lesson on this particular project that you would think Malaysians can take from?
I think you want to incorporate lessons learned from across the globe. You want to have partners who are understanding the business side of the world, mm-hmm. who have proven yet innovative solutions to it, and make sure there's constant checkpoints to make sure you're on track.
I see. Well, that's definitely, you know, challenges that we can take note of, especially at the early stages mm-hmm. For Malaysia, you know, to roll out 5G. So moving on to telcos being a highly regulated industry, what are the key challenges here, you think, in navigating such a highly regulated industry, but at the same time, keeping commercial investors happy? How then do we navigate between the interests of government as well as commercial sectors?
That's a great question. And I think, as I said earlier, the telcos have this invitation and challenge opportunity for them. One other point is COVID has bitterly revealed that the digital divide is much wider and deeper across the globe than what we anticipated. And governments are responsible to their citizens. Telcos need to open up the aperture and enhance their services, enhance their willingness to participate in other new models, particularly for universal service and other areas of deployment. Obviously, as private sector companies, they have to pay attention to their shareholders. But I would see like wholesale networks as an opportunity for them to actually grow business. And per that, in wholesale networks, it's very interesting to see who likes wholesale networks. So Eric Schmidt, the former chairman of Google, is a big fan of wholesale networks because he sees it as service sector competition. Who has been the innovators out in the space? It's been a lot of the what we call the hyperscale firms. That is AWS, Google, Microsoft, data centers. They're really leading a lot of the edge in applications that private enterprise 5G will take advantage of.
So you were talking to me just now, you know, before the interview about public-private partnership and mm-hmm. how it's good for the country. Can you explain it a bit further, elaborate on that?
Sure. Basically, there's two splits. There's a traditional carrier auction model, and there's a non-auction model. And within that, there's different elements. One of them is public-private partnerships. So in the United States, we created FirstNet, which is a nationwide public safety network run by AT&T, who uses the spectrum for public safety, but they can also use it for commercial purposes when they're not having public safety needs. That's a public-private partnership. The public side is a spectrum is a national asset. The private side is getting people to participate in that side.
Yeah.
You're seeing that also in other areas, like in Germany. What they did is they created 100 megahertz of spectrum for private enterprises at essentially an admin cost. So they did not want auction revenue, but they did that because manufacturing is critical to the German economy. And hence, that's kind of a quasi-public-private partnership because they're not seeking auction revenue. They're basically giving the spectrum to the private enterprises so they can grow in a 5G world.
At the end of the day, what Malaysians want in general, all of us, want accessible, affordable, and also fast connectivity.
Exactly.
All right, so one suggestion relating to that telcos have proposed is a dual wholesale network. I'm not too familiar with this, but the whole idea is a dual wholesale network backed by MNOs. Have this been done before, and what are your views on this?
I don't think it has been done before, and quite honestly, I see it as a wolf in sheep's clothing. To have two parallel networks going at the same time would in fact create confusion in the marketplace rather than create confidence in the marketplace. And then once that's done, as I would say, unscrambling that egg is very hard. Hold DNB accountable for its goals and objectives, have transparent policies, and that will create confidence in the marketplace. In fact, I would also add, creating that confidence in the marketplace will increase investor confidence globally. There's a lot of infrastructure finance interested in these type of models. And I think you have a great opportunity to encourage international financial participation in Malaysia's single wholesale network.
I see. Well, with the dual wholesale network, since it's suggested by telcos who has been in the industry for so long, will it deliver many benefits, including enhancing competition and addressing the so-called single point of failure, you think?
I personally fail to understand the reasoning for the dual wholesale network other than, frankly, fear of having a new entity out there. Hold DNB accountable, let them roll out their network, and it's a utility model so that they can attract not only carriers, but other participants in the marketplace. That's a critical part. Other participants that will enter the marketplace, whether it's ports, utilities, schools, smart cities, they can use this wholesale market as an opportunity for them to leapfrog in a 5G world.
I see. Well, there's definitely a concern with a lot of MNOs, industry players, particularly in telecommunications, because, it's something different. You know, we've done rollouts before differently, so it's something new.
Well, remember, as I said, in the 1990s when we did the WTO-BTA, there were the same arguments. Mm-hmm. You could not break up the PTTs. You could not have competition. We've been there before. Trust me, incumbents will never go out of business. They have to address their marketplace. That's legitimate. But you want to be open to new technologies and new business models in order to serve your country.
Now, last year, DNB has conducted a tender process for the 5G network equipment provider, in which Ericsson was announced the winner last July. How do you see this playing out?
I can't speak to the DNB process, but I can speak as a somebody who's worked for governments as an independent advisor and knowing the global market. Ericsson's a very good firm. They're a Western audited firm. That means they have to have external folks do it. And also, as a businessman, you see and hear reputations around the world. There's been no question that I've heard about regarding this.
So I guess we just have to see how it plays out when 5G is in full scale, right?
Yep.
So we've talked about the system and also technicalities with regards to the 5G rollout specifically. So now let's move on to the bigger picture, right? So factoring development in the country and also globally, from pandemic to the Industrial Revolution, do you think there is an urgent need for 5G? What is the immediate best use cases for 5G for a developing country such as Malaysia?
I think there is a great need. And a great thing is that 5G is a global issue, so nobody is a leader yet, so you can get lessons learned from other countries right away, such as Brazil, as we mentioned earlier, and new models. Like, as you know, I served in Bahrain, where they created a wholesale network. The Crown Prince explicitly created that wholesale network to encourage job creation among the youth and women for the country writ large. And as I said in the German example, for private enterprise 5G. I would highly encourage a swift rollout of 5G, plus an openness to international investment for private enterprise 5G, as well as wholesale network that can serve kind of like, almost like cloud computing. 10 years ago, nobody believed cloud computing was out there. Now you're seeing cloud computing as acceptable and a good business practice. The wholesale network can also do that for rollout of 5G. The last point I think 5G can be very good for is agriculture, think climate change, think green, and education, making sure that we can address the rural population and the impoverished population of the country. And that means also bringing in new technologies such as like LEO satellites and other parts as well.
Okay. I would like to touch a bit more on what you say about rural communities, right? Mm-hmm. I'm setting the scene here as a consumer who now has a mobile network provider and is using 4G, right? 4G as it is, even in rural areas right now, pretty much non-existent.
Right, right.
So we're not just talking about, you know, one specific rural areas. It's many rural areas and even some part of urban areas that, you know, certain service providers, 4G specifically, are hard to find. So how do we address this when it comes to 5G later? Because as of now, even 4G is not yet, you know, I would say full swing per se. How do we address this when we want to roll out 5G?
As mentioned earlier, COVID unfortunately revealed in every country across the globe that the digital divide is much wider and deeper than we thought. What I think is a combination of universal service plans as well as new ideas such as a wholesale network in order to address the entire population. So the incentive structure is not simply a financial incentive structure, but an incentive structure to meet the citizens' broadband needs. And you see across the globe, many countries now providing infrastructure funds to address these needs. Plus, you have new firms such as SpaceX and LEO satellites, where you can provide coverage through extreme rural areas. So you want to have a cooperation amongst different technologies and different models in order to address the rural and urban impoverished citizens.
I think it's important also to remember what not just 5G per se, like internet connectivity stands for, right? It's a public good.
That's right. Yeah. Spectrum is a public good, and the wholesale network treats it as a utility for the public. And that's a critical element.
Yeah. All right. With, I guess, 5G being deployed in most, if not all, sectors when it's fully operational later, do you think this would benefit economic growth in the future as in, and in turn bring about employment opportunities?
I very strongly feel that way. I think that you'll see new data centers, you'll see cloud computing, you see better private enterprise applications, you'll see smart agriculture, and you'll see job creation come out of it. The job creation may be out of new sectors, maybe not your traditional ones, but that's the part of being able to be open to new models and new technologies. I think that you'll see both job creation as well as job growth in other areas. And we can point to, once again, Bahrain or Germany as being leaders in this field to taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I guess drawing on to that, you know, Malaysia is a developing country. We are, you know, touching our feet in you know, the Internet of Things, the Metaverse, AI and all that. Would 5G play a big role in all this?
5G is critical to AI, IoT. Getting 5G right is the basis for IoT and AI. So you want to make sure that 5G is set in order to take advantage. And hence, I think the SWN model here is a good one to make sure you're doing that. Finally, I'd also add, like, I bumped into an executive from Porsche who just came into the country. You can take lessons learned from other countries. If Germany is a leading in private enterprise 5G, you could instantly say to the Porsche people, let's do a pilot here in this country in order to take advantage of the lessons you learned in Germany.
Yeah, I guess drawing on your experience, you know, you have a broad experience, you know, 20 years in telecommunication, advising on 5G rollout, not just, you know, in Brazil and the UN as well, but as well as the US and Europe in general. So you have consulted all these governments, all these industry players. Share with us your experience on what sort of challenges, you know, that they are facing. So for a country like us to take note of for our own 5G rollout.
Well, the good news is that 5G is not 4G plus one number. 5G is a radically different model.
Yeah.
And everybody is experiencing it at the same time. So hence, you can do the lessons learned and the sharing with other countries. I think also part of that is to look beyond just the carrier side. Carriers are very important, but also into hyperscale firms, AWS, Google, Microsoft Azure, other people who have really been innovators in this marketplace and see where they're going. The good news is I think people are all working this through right now, and you can apply those lessons learned for Malaysia very quickly. I think your SWN model will actually be a catalyst for that type of growth.
I think before we wrapped up this session, I would say there's one more question that I would like to ask in terms of first the success, but more importantly, in terms of stakeholders involved and also first step in terms of accelerating this agenda, right? So what would be the first step for industry players, government agencies, and all that to take note of when it comes to 5G rollout? What would be the most important thing that they have to take note of? Lessons or just as an advice from you, you know, a telecommunication expert on the most important thing that they have to always remember when it comes to 5G rollout. And also, whether or not you are hopeful that our 5G rollout would be a success in the country?
Well, first off, I'm very hopeful that your 5G will be successful. I'm very thrilled and excited. I think it's an innovative yet proven model. And I think you will find internationally partners who want to join with you. Spectrum is like cloud computing now. You can have trading of spectrum, so you can get international financial people to participate in this. Probably the expectations, I think it would be great to create a clear program of what you're going to do and when, so that there's confidence in the citizens and confidence in the marketplace. I think that we want to open up the aperture to new users in this, so whether it's universities, students, or factories, they can be big participants in 5G benefits.
So I'm guessing what you're saying is being transparent and also opening up avenues for other players and other sectors and other, like you said just now, university students and individuals to basically take part in this journey, yes?
New actors, and I would open it to new partners or partnerships abroad. There's a lot of interest in this field, ranging from innovative firms that do spectrum arbitrage to international finance. Have them seek out their thoughts and ideas.
I see. All right, so there you have it, Mr. Brett Hun, with his insight that can certainly benefit our 5G experience in the country. You know, we've got here, you know, from the system, from the technicalities, from our 5G rollout globally, and also here, there's a lot to sort of factor in and a lot of information that we can take lessons from. So there you have it, Mr. Brett Hun. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Farhana Sheh, and thank you for watching.